This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift rolling on right here. Having a good time already, man. Already ripping the Band-Aid off and making sure we get the laughs rolling. Appreciate you listening. Hopefully you guys are doing the same things out there on the ride into work. It's so funny, and I think it was during the show yesterday, Allie, where somebody was tweeting me, talking about dropping my Falcons teammates off at the Dorville station.
Right.
And I just straight up was like in Simba mode. I was like, no, that's the Darklands. We don't go past the Dorville station. I'm not going ITP to take teammates to the airport. But I guess teammate of the year is not going to be a thing for me, although, like I said a minute ago, husband of the year is on the docket after last night. Is there anything Grant does that, like, he's like, I'm putting my bid in for husband of the year.
Oh, he tries to do everything for me. I mean, I'll be making something and I need to put away the milk, right? And he'll be standing there ready to take it. He's just there to help me in every situation.
He's a kitchen hoverer.
No, not a kitchen helper.
Right.
A little sous chef.
Yeah, there you go. Does he cook at all?
Absolutely. He cooks everything for
really?
Us. Yes. Yeah, he makes everything.
Didn't see that one coming, although I should have. Should have.
I've gotten it. We've tried so many new dishes with this meal train. People have been bringing us food.
Yeah, what's the best one?
I don't want to upset anyone. We've had some phenomenal. Amy's little sister last night made. She dropped off taco soup.
Strong.
We've had some good chicken pot pie, some chicken davion or something like that. It was really good. Well, my neighbor, and it's funny because. My buddy Brent and his wife Julie, they go to Mexico. They've been to Mexico with us on our group vacation, and she's like a vegetarian, or vegan or whatever they call themselves. And she made this pasta shells thing, and it's got like real meat on it, and it is one of the best things I've ever eaten.
Wow!
I mean, it's absolutely it is. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's like those big pasta shells, and there's like. Cheese and
yeah.
Meat and sauce, and it's just absolutely phenomenal.
Dude,
like unbelievable. I'm sure it has a name, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, man, we'll get to the Braves in just a second, guys. We're going to talk a little bit about the Atlanta Falcons here and the Jeff Ulbrich situation, which we talked a little bit just a minute ago about the offense and everything else going on. There were good vibes in Flowery Branch yesterday as all the assistant coaches met with the media. And one of those assistant coaches was Jeff Ulbrich. The vibe's not quite as high. As a matter of fact, you listen to the entire thing, none of it really was about the Atlanta Falcons. It was all about his son. I'm just thinking through this because Bo's dealing with new parenting situations, and Jeff Ulbrich is dealing with ones of a 21-year-old, and it's still you're always a parent. So you just – I don't know. You just kind of have to float along.
Well, and unfortunately, this is like his first real media press conference,
yeah.
right? With the Falcons,
yeah,
like new job. And this is what he has to answer to.
Yeah.
It just stinks for
him. It's unfortunate. Here's Jeff Ulbrich yesterday talking about his reaction when he found out that his son was the one involved.
Yeah, obviously not happy and shocked. So I made the Falcons aware of the situation. And then our next course of action was to try to get a hold of the Sanders family so we could apologize in person, which we were able to do. And the Sanders family, Shadur and Coach Sanders, were amazingly gracious, more gracious than they needed to be in a moment like this.
Solemn Jeff Ulbrich. I mean, I'd have no reason to doubt anything this man is saying. He sounds somber.
Mm-hmm.
He sounds ultimately sorry. And, you know, his words about Deion, I think, Deion and the Sanders family, I think, ring very, very heavy in this situation. Because let's just call a spade a spade. Deion and Shadur could have made this a much bigger deal than they are.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a huge credit to them. Obviously, $250,000 from the team yesterday that the NFL fined the Atlanta Falcons, Bo, and $100,000 from Jeff Ulbrich. He does not sound like a guy that's going to be in the mood to fight the fine. It's like, hey, let's just take this on the chin and move past it. But I'll say this, Bo, before I get your thoughts on it. Yesterday, I'm scrolling the socials, and like half the people are upset that it's not worse. Like, you know, And then half the people think it's ridiculously out of hand. And so that probably means that we're in the proximity of what it should be.
Where
right?
it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah, normally it means it's right, you know. Yeah, the people like that Jason McIntyre guy on Fox Sports Radio, what a clown take by saying, well, they should have got draft picks. I'd really drive the point home. What point? What point are you driving home, tough guy? It's so stupid that's like no one is really, you know, fighting this. Everyone's remorseful that's involved, or seemingly anyways. I don't know about the kid that actually made the call. No one's heard from him. Knows his name that I know of. But, you know, it sucks there. But also, if I'm Ulbrich, I take it, all right? If I'm the team, I think I might fight back. Because there have been some reports surface, and, you know, I know that I'm normally boycott Pro Football Talk, but this time I'm going to give them a little bit of credit because they obtained the email. And Mike Florio himself wrote the article on there where basically this wasn't something that the league sent the team, and then the team sent Ulbrich, and it said confidential on it. This was a document that was sent that in no way said in any point in time it was confidential, or not that we don't know. It's understood, right? I think there's an understanding that it's confidential. But it was never said. And basically, instead of sending it to the teams, it was sent out to the and saying confidential, it was sent out to the daily transaction report and all the recipients of that. So everybody had the number. Yeah. Everyone had Shador's new number. So it's kind of like, where is it written that that you know this had to be treated like a confidential document? Because I think if you wanted to say it held up in a court of law, I don't know if the league could actually find the team or Ulbrich and all for all intent purposes, because it was never said a classified or confidential document. Now I think that's a little bit much, and I understand why they wouldn't. I'm just saying.
Yeah, and you know what's funny, man, is it, when you talk about Jason McIntyre talking about taking picks, I'm like, I'm with you. I don't get the sense that the Atlanta Falcons want to fight on this. They're like, you know, I can just see Arthur Blank being like, dude, I mean, it's 250K. Rip the Band-Aid off. Let's move past this. But had you taken a draft pick, you might have got a lot more stink from Arthur Blank and company. It would have been like, no, wait. Yeah, I see what you're trying to do. And I was going to be a team player, but if you want to take draft picks, we got issues, man. And so I'm with you on that one, man. Jeff Ulbrich also talked a little bit yesterday about, look, man, it's been a tough few days.
Yeah, they've been challenging, but, you know, we brought this upon ourselves, you know, and the fact that I didn't protect the data well enough, and my son did something, obviously he has a great amount of regret.
Yeah, and he should. And, I think that's the one thing that most people take away from this. There's no doubt that Jax Ulbrich should have a lot of regret, but he's also a middleman of sorts, and I think that Jeff Ulbrich is just like, dude, I don't even know what to say at this point.
Well, and I do start to wonder about Jax at this point, because no human, regardless of what has happened, deserves the amount of hate that the internet can bring on someone. So hopefully this can just, we'll pay the fine, get it over with, move forward, next news cycle.
And honestly, what you're saying is exactly how I felt about Shadur and when he was dropping in the draft.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? Whatever he did inside these meetings, and I'm of the thought, you know, I think Marcus Spears has addressed this. Chris Carter's talked about it. There's too much smoke coming from a lot of these interview processes for it to be collusion in my thought. But I also got to a point during the draft watching Shadur, I'm like, doesn't deserve this amount of scrutiny. You know what I mean? Like, he's a person too. Like, he's one of these people that, like, whether or not you think he's entitled or whatever else you want to say about him, he's also a person going through a big moment, and this is a massive letdown. And this guy has, you know, draft rooms and rap songs and everything else going on, and he's got to feel an immense amount of letdown, but he doesn't deserve some of the blowback he's gotten.
Well, I think, look, there's so much to take in. When you want all the attention, you get it sometimes when it's good and bad. And when it's bad, it can be hard. And when it's good, it can be great, right?
Yeah.
And you can't. I don't disagree with you. I don't like blow. But I don't. I think some of it went too. I think a good bit of it went too far on both sides. But this is what happens when you put yourself out there in the spotlight. I'm also want to touch on, because Allie mentioned about the blowback for Jax Ulbrich, which he's brought all of this on himself, but Allie's right. But then there's stuff like James Palmer, who used to work for the NFL Network. Now he's, I don't know, doing Bleacher Report or something. I don't know where he's going with it. But he tweets, "No repercussions for Jax Ulbrich, who took the number and made the prank phone call listed here." Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Palmer. What did you want the league to do? Oh, and by the way,
ding,
we're going to fine, suspend, and bring legal charges against a non-employee? Like, what kind of –
yeah,
that's the stuff that drives me nuts, because it's just so dumb.
Yeah. I'm with you on that one, too. It's like, dude, what do you – okay, so are we going to just blacklist him from ever attending a Falcons game? Is that what we're going to do?
He's on the
no-entry list at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
A lifelong ban?
Yeah, a lifelong ban. Like, we're going to put his picture at the door at Mercedes-Benz and be like, this guy can't come in. I'm with you on that one. And look, again, and you kind of brought this point up earlier. I'm not making him out to be innocent by any means, but he didn't make the phone call. He got the phone number. And I passed the phone number along, which he's just as guilty as the guy making the phone call, probably in a lot of people's eyes. But, again,
he is.
The whole thing, and I tweeted this out after it happened, the whole thing is just unfortunate. Like, yes. There's no good way to look at any of this. It sucks for Shadur. The blowback's going to suck for Jax. It definitely sucks for Jeff Ulbrich. And here we are having to talk about it. It's Thursday of the following week. So I'm hoping that was my initial reaction to the fine yesterday. Just put it all to bed. Let's just all go to sleep and wake up and act like, we can move on from this scenario.
Hey,
that's how I feel.
I want you guys to think about this on the break. Is it data or data?
Because
Ulbrich called it data, and
food
I think it's
thought,
data.
From Squid Billy. We will talk about the Braves on the other side. Like I said, Chris Sale, a letdown start, or was it? A couple streaks broken for the Rockies yesterday. We'll also hit the front page, and we'll talk about the NBA playoffs and another crazy night around the league.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. That it's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory and that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.